This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to the To Hull and Back podcast. It's me on hosting duties tonight, and I'm joined by Will and Tom, proudly sponsored by Kingfisher Fish and Chips and Old Zoological Bar in Hull. Will, Tom, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing brilliant, mate. How are you?
But finally, glad we finally got rid of that waste of space, Nathaniel. He was messing way too much. No, not really. It's his 10th birthday, so we've let him... go out. He's 10. I've got to give him his credit. He's not that young. He's able to have a full faction of Coke now and go to bed at 9.
Nathaniel will be able to have a full pack of Mauams to wash down his Sunday roast and stay up for an extra half an hour tonight. Nathaniel, if you're watching, listening, whatever, happy birthday.
He's a mentalist. It's his birthday. What would he be doing on here?
So, 1-1 draw against West Brom. What are your thoughts?
Right, I thought we played well, to be fair, like, in terms of much improved from recent performances. I felt we got at them. I felt the football was slick. We sort of mixed up as well, was playing quite a few balls over the top, and obviously was playing quite short passes as well. I felt Ermers was brilliant again. His touch is amazing. And yeah, I thought it was like a solid performance, to be honest.
Yeah, it was two very solid championship teams clashing, cancelling one another out. Probably two sides who, there's a good chance both of them will be in the playoffs come the end of the season if both their forms carry on. But West Brom, I thought, were fantastically well drilled, knew exactly what they were doing. Their defensive positioning in shape was superb, and City did struggle at times to get through it. But there were chances for both sides, really. I mean, the woodwork was hit 3 times in total. I think the draw was probably about right overall. It's a shame that we took the lead and we didn't keep it and we give away a sloppy goal from a set piece, which is still a bit of an issue for City. But all in all, another good performance to carry on. I think if you'd have said before this week, you'll get 4 points from West Brom and Southampton, you'd have snapped your hand off for it. You'd have probably Absolutely. Just maybe preferred it the other way around, maybe.
Absolutely. I mean, Liam Rossini described it as a playoff game, didn't he? And it very much had that feel to it of your typical playoff first leg, where everything's sort of a little bit cagey, feeling each other out, and then the second leg goes on to be a bit more open as both teams really want to get to Wembley. And after this week and this run of form of, you know, I think we're, is it 5 unbeaten in 6 or something like that? 6 unbeaten in 7, something like that?
We're unbeaten in 4. It's 1 loss now in 7. seven. Either way, I think we're third in the form table for like the last six games because of that draw. But I mean, it's a great run overall. It's just a shame that the Swansea game, probably one of the games you'd have thought we'd win, was probably the worst performance for a long while.
It's the only blemish on that, isn't it? And you know, I've got the table here in front of me. It's so tight. Every team down from West Brom and us actually in the playoff spots at the minute, down to Cardiff in 14th, could realistically take a playoff spot. There's Norwich, Preston, Coventry, Sunderland, Watford, close to sacking another manager, if reports are to be believed. Bristol City, Middlesbrough, who have played one game less, and Cardiff, all in there, ranging between 52 and 44 points. It's tight as ever, and that's the challenge.
I think in recent weeks, the gap's got a little bit bigger. So I think before there was like 4 points separating like 6th to 14th, but now it's got a bit bigger. I think Middlesbrough like 10 points behind us now or something. Or Sunderland, I think.
Sunderland are on 47, we're on 55.
Yeah, Middlesbrough are behind us.
Middlesbrough are on 44, but have played one less game. If they win that game in hand, it's unlikely there'd be a 10-goal swing in goal difference in their favour over that one game. But if they win that game in hand and have that goal swing, they would jump up ahead of Sunderland into 10th. But like I say, it's unlikely that they'd have a 10-goal swing.
I agree. I think it's probably us, Norwich, Preston and Coventry and West Brom is the playoff push now. You might see maybe Sunderland, if they can get their act together, although they lost on weekend. Yeah, so maybe them. But I think when you look at the Watford, Bristol, Middlesbrough, Cardiff, maybe Plymouth as well, I think they're all teams that are in a position where their season's maybe over, maybe. They're probably safe. Same with Blackburn and Swansea. And I think you're looking from Birmingham down after that for the relegation battle. But there's still plenty of teams with a lot to play for this season.
Definitely. Definitely. And we'll come back to all of this later on, I'm sure. But Preston beat Coventry 3-0 on Friday night. Yeah. And then coming up, we've got West Brom versus Coventry, Bristol City versus Cardiff and Norwich versus Sunderland in that cluster of the table that have got a chance at playoffs. The Bristol City and the Cardiff game is a little bit out of that top nine, and Sunderland have tailed off, haven't they?
I think just briefly, Preston winning was probably a good thing, just purely because they won by so many. It's helped because it's pushed Coventry's goal difference down, while Preston's is still, even with winning by 3-0, Preston's is still miles away from everyone else in the division. It does set a nice little precedent for next weekend against Preston, but I mean, we'll get onto that later.
Definitely will. Tom, do you think we can dream yet?
Yeah, it's time to get you Wembley hotels booked, I reckon, now. To be fair, it's just so good to be in a position where we're actually chasing something, because aside from the League One promotion season, we've not had anything to play for other than relegation for the past, 7 years or something. I obviously got relegated from the Premier League in 2017, and from there we've been sort of low mid-table championship, come out of part of League One, and then past two seasons have been low mid-table championship, but so now we're finally fighting for the playoffs. It's exciting. So I think we'll get playoffs, but then I don't want to come back on this and be like, oh, why did I say that? But yeah, we're in a great position.
It is funny because the game as cut, that West Brom game came almost 16 years, I think it was, to the day that we played West Brom in the Championship in 2008. We went there and we won, beat them there. And that was kind of the start of that dare to dream sort of belief back then. So it's funny how time-wise it's almost lined up perfectly. So it'd be nice if it was to be the similar scenario going into this season as well.
The thing is, what I like now is that we saw two different sides to our game. So obviously against Southampton in the week, we was able to play on the counter, quick in transition, breaking. Obviously, we liked it when the team came on to us for once, and we pressed them high. Because obviously, give us more space. Whereas against West Brom, it was a different test because they was more obviously resilient in the shape. They didn't really move out of the shape as well, and they didn't. So sometimes they're triggering a press, but other times they're just sitting. So obviously, there was sort of asking us to sort of break them down. And I think it was a tough challenge. I think West Brom are a team you don't like to play against because of just how organised they are. But I felt like we did well to sort of play through their, obviously their midfield, and we got ourselves in slight promising positions. And obviously that, obviously for the first goal, win a corner, and then obviously Carvalho scores that screamer. But with Carvalho, it's like, I think he's finally sort of getting into the groove now in a City shirt. I know he scored against Sunderland, and I'd say he wasn't performing too well. But the past two games has been brilliant. And we're seeing the class that obviously saw Liverpool buy him a couple of years ago. But he's that sort of big game player where he can come up with them big game moments. And exactly, that's exactly what he did against West Brom.
Yeah, definitely. It was one of those games where I know everyone will have gone into it. And I did as well. I was hoping it would be similar to the Southampton game because you're hoping we are so good attacking and pressing. But West Brom aren't the sort of side that are going to play that ball and let you like press them as well. So it was always going to be a trickier game. I was surprised that the team was the same. I thought Liam might have twisted and gone for the striker instead of keeping the same attack. But I think the attack did all right with what he did. Maybe it could have done with someone like Connolly earlier, or I know Ohio wasn't on the squad at all, and not sure why at this point. But I mean, Liam will have his reasons. But it would have been nice to see someone maybe bigger to sort of deal with the defence, because we did put a lot of crosses into their box. Problem is, we had players like Zerauri, Carvalho and Connolly in there against players like Kipre, who were all about 4 feet higher than them. So it was going to be hard to win an actual battle in the air against them.
Yeah, they're giants, aren't they? The West Brom, I felt that when Emer and Carvalho got the ball, they actually protected it quite well, though. Like, there was a time
on the ground, there was a few pairs. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, when they got the ball, and obviously Kipre is coming into the back of Carvalho, I'm thinking he's going to lose it, but he managed to keep it, wriggle out a tight situation, and pass it back to Coyle. And I was sort of impressed about how well he kept the ball in tight spaces. Same with Emer as well, like, the way he sort of glides across the pitch, collects that ball, just reminds you of Bernardo Silva, really, just like the way he picks up that ball.
And they surprised me starting the game, actually. I thought he might have been the one that dropped out because apparently his fitness isn't full. But I can't see where his issues with fitness are, because he looks like he just runs everywhere and he looks fantastic.
He does.
Yeah. I really, really don't give away the ball, does he? Yeah, don't give away the ball.
I really, really like Abdush. I think, obviously, Liam Delap's been mentioned there. It was nice to see him before the game, actually. It was really, really nice to...
He would have been perfect for that game. I think he would have...
I said in my video that... Because Ohio's meant to be our Delap replacement mould of a striker, isn't he? And I think that game would have been perfect for Ohio because he's taller and a bit more physical than Connolly, but he's also, from what we've... In the limited minutes he's had so far, we've seen that he's got a bit about him, we think. And I've seen people criticising the performance of Connolly. And I want to know what you two think of this, really. And people watching live as well, feel free to chip in. It's strange to see, because I've seen people criticising Connolly, saying he hasn't done a lot, when, for me, it wasn't really the right game to bring him into. Because you look at
him... He didn't get much of the ball in the first place, to be fair.
You look at who he's up against, though. He's up against... Semi Ajayi gets brought on. Eric Peters, who's always been physical. And Cedric Kipre, all of whom...
Kipre might be the best... He's one of the best centre-backs in the division, I think, personally.
I wouldn't say no to that.
Not the best, but well, that's obviously Jacob Greaves. But he's one of...
I was going to go Alfie Jones, but good shout with Greaves.
That's one and two.
Definitely. But no, I thought it was the wrong game to bring Connolly into, because we weren't trying that ball over the top very often, which with their high line, we tried that ball, it would have been perfect for Connolly. But because we weren't trying it, it was going to be a tough game for him to come into when he's up against these such physical, you know, really broad, tall centre-halves. And then... Billy Sharp, I made the point the other day on here about Billy Sharp and when he was up against Shane Duffy against Norwich and how that game didn't really play into his favour. I think this game would have been perfect for Ohio. He was fit, came in early with the team, all that kind of thing, but just wasn't picked.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but it's because I felt like, obviously, like you say, you have to play the ball over the top if you're going to get the best out of Connolly. We've seen some of his best moments this season come from when you're playing the ball over the top. He's not good when he's ball to feet back against the defender. He's not got that strength to hold up the ball, and he can just lose it as well quite easily. Whereas obviously Ohio, his strength is actually obviously backing into a defender and playing on the half turn and stretching. Obviously that's the same with the lap as well. Like if we had the lap in that game, like Will said, completely different game, I think. So it gives you that extra option to get in behind, and it sort of, you drag defenders out of positions into positions they don't want to go, and then that opens up space like Carvalho, Zaruri to, you know, get shots off. But that was probably the only criticism, really.
That was the thing, because they weren't really playing a high line. You had to drag those defenders out of positions to create space instead of having the space behind them. So it was one of those games where I think even Dillap might have had a bit, but he has more physicality about him. He was probably more likely to have maybe won the ball if he had got it in that position. So it would have been interesting, but say West Brom are one of the most well-drilled and best organised sides in the division. And that's
I think they've kept the club most clean sheets, so that just obviously speaks volumes of how good they are defensively. So,
I thought Alex Palmer was really, really good for them in goal as well.
Yeah.
He was,
I wouldn't say his distribution was good, but his shot selection was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bit like Johansson at Rotherham.
Yeah.
Oh, he's too good for that team. He's way too good for that team.
He'll stay championship worthy when they get relegated.
He should.
Some championship club will come.
If he was good, I would adore City.
A championship in need of a goalkeeper would be stupid not to go for Victor Johansson, but I do get the feeling Matt Ingram is also going to be on the market, which is...
Oh, I think a few teams will be after him. I think because Matt Ingram's always been a decent shot stopper, but he's just his distribution as well, like the others. He's not the best. There's plenty of teams in the championship who don't play that way, and they'll be happy to have a person who's just a good shot stopper.
I was going to go on to Allsop.
Yep. Speaking of goalkeepers, looking at their goal, and we'll come back to ours after this. Were you going to say Allsop, Tom?
I was going to go into a debate about Allsop's distribution, but we'll speak about the goal first, and then we'll go into that.
Because people were livid. Oh, what? It's 41st minute. Why are you making a pass like that? Just get it up the pitch. Get it into half time. We should be happy in this stand now. And there's a comment on YouTube from Kieran. Panda should be given his chance. It's an interesting debate. And I do think we'll see Panda quite soon.
I think we'll see him in the very near future. But I don't think it'll be because Allsop's not playing well, because he's probably playing at his best that he's played since he got here over the last few games. Overall,
I mean, there's two things for the goal. There's the Allsop distribution, that kind of thing, and then there's the defending set pieces. But we'll talk about Allsop's distribution first. What do we think?
It's mostly fast every now and then.
Is overall distribution, or do you mean like the mistake?
Both.
So I think people, because what Rossini said about Allsop when he came in, he was coming in to be this ball playing keeper that was going to sort of take us to the next level. I felt like people have had like high expectations of him and expect him to be a robot, not make any mistakes at all. But the likelihood is, obviously, when you play this sort of play out the back system where you're passing it to defenders and stuff like that, you're going to make mistakes. And I think Allsop's obviously made a few mistakes this season. But I like him as a keeper. But I think, like you say, you've got that expectation of where you expect him to be better with the ball at his feet. Whether he's sort of hit that expectation, I'm not too sure. But I think he's pretty good at distributing the ball, to be honest. But
when was the last time we actually conceded a goal due to him directly messing up?
The last one I can remember is probably QPR. December, like 2 months.
Yeah.
Two and a half months. So.
Yeah. It's been a while since, but everyone acts like he does it every week.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's perfect, but I think he's a lot better than a lot of people give him credit for.
definitely.
I think sometimes maybe his long distribution's not good, but you're not gonna. He's not a robot. He's not gonna get it right all the time. And to be fair, the players he's got, he's hitting the ball up to, aren't exactly good at holding the ball. In terms of when you've got centre backs backing in somewhere, if you're like a higher or the lap, we've seen it. Like he's got that in his locker where he can knock the ball over the top. We saw him try to do it a lot of times, like in the first half, Philogene. Like from goal kicks, you saw Philogene make that run from right to in, and like he was trying to find him just over the top, just to sort of give West Brom something more to think about. But that'll probably pay off eventually. It's just, yeah.
Goalkeepers are always in a position where their errors are more obvious because they don't have as many involvements in a game as the outfield players do. So whenever they do make a mistake, it's more obvious, and they don't have as many chances to rectify it as, say, a midfielder giving the ball away or a defender, you know, missing a tackle.
Yeah, cause, what do you think to the goal then? Like, because I'm
it's poor defending, but I don't know if you should say it. It takes a really awkward bounce. I think it's a weird one. You could do with a man on the line, but that's not really a thing that happens anymore, I suppose. So we don't normally have them on the line.
I think when he's down, like going down, he's prepared for the ball to be going low to save it, and then it sort of just bounces and goes over him. So I think it's harsh to blame.
He's really high up as well. Yeah. It's a very
defending overall as well.
It does loop over him, doesn't it? And I think you can't criticize Allsop for that. Obviously, when, like you say, Will, and Tom said it as well. You're going to make mistakes playing this way. It's just chances are you will misplace a pass at some point. It's going to happen. He got a bit lucky with the one where he gave it to Seri against Southampton, where Seri had two on his back with hindsight.
Yeah.
He'd have thought, yeah, I should have just lumped that long.
Yeah.
But
he's told to put it. I think it is frustrating sometimes when you know that the pass isn't on and he still tries to play it. I think common sense should prevail and he should just play it long. But obviously, Rossini is the one that is telling him to obviously play it out at all costs, and Rossini is willing to take that obviously mistake on it on himself if like it goes wrong, like he has before. Like he's come out and said, "Look, this is the way we're playing," and that's that. I think you've just got to trust the process, and I think so far, Allsop has been an upgrade on Ingram, and that's what we asked for, and that's what we've got. I think so.
Yeah. And put it this way: the process is working. Look where we were when Rossini took over, and look at where we are now. If that's not a process bringing out results, what is?
Yeah, I think some people do forget that sometimes, like where we are now. It's been massive progress in the space of, what, a year and 3 months since he's come to the club. So got to sort of look at that and just think, look, yeah, we've brought in some good players. Yeah, we've got arguably, we've probably spent top six, if you know what I mean, past few years, top six budget. So we expect to be there, but it was always going to take we thought it probably would take longer than it has done, because I think a lot of people this season were expecting like top 10, top 11, but now we're actually in the playoff mix. It's like, you know, maybe it's like over expectations for some people, but I think it's good where we are.
Certainly is. Further on West Brom's goal, then we'll go back to ours. Set pieces. We scored one and we failed to defend one. I know we've touched on it already, but should we do better to deny Dino Furlong that chance?
Yeah, probably should do, to be fair.
Can't argue.
I've not really looked it back, but I think, was it Philogene marking him? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know who's marking him. That was a mistake.
Do you question why is Jaden Philogene marking Dan or Furlong?
Well, it depends who's marking who, though, because I imagine
the Giants are taking Kipra and Peters.
Yeah, that's the thing. They've got so much, but that's the thing with West Brom is, and it was a thing that I think that people had mentioned going into the game about West Brom's, they've got a good advantage on set pieces against us because of their height. And I think it was just an example of that paying off, because the Philogene against Furlong, there's definitely a height disadvantage on Jaden's side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone said to me they've got one of these set piece guys, haven't they? We need one of them. Do you agree?
I think it's with football now, you get all these different, like, all these new roles coming into play. Like,
I assume we have one because of the amount of shot corners we do.
I don't think we have like a designated set piece coach. I just think someone more qualified in that area is probably like telling the players what to do. Whereas obviously the teams like Aston Villa in the Premier League have like a designated set piece coach, don't they? And that's how they've had more success from set pieces. But yeah, it's interesting. I guess like if you win the Premier League, you'll have one of them like designated coaches. But in the Championship, I don't know if many teams do. But yeah.
Speaking of the short corners, who says you can't score from them? We certainly did.
A lot of people, even though I think statistically you're more likely to have at least have a chance for a short corner than a normal one.
But Nathaniel got his
Cavalier definitely had a chance.
Nathaniel got his numbers out on a recent episode and proved that statistically you are more likely to score from a short corner than you are just whipping it straight in the area. That's where Carvalho's goal came from. What a strike.
To be fair, it did involve Carvalho himself whipping it into the area, but it went through the area and into the net.
Good point. Very good point. Could Palmer have done better, Tom?
That's top right corner.
Power
in it. You've got to give credit to them. You've got to give credit,
The pace on the ball just beats him for me. And at that point, you can't believe the keeper. That's my
opinion. Then when you look at the sort of players we've got, though, you expect us to shoot more like in them positions. Like, sometimes we do get on the edge of the area. Zerouri, Villagine.
Earlier in the game, he released a proper thunderbolt up and it was directly at Palmer. If it had been to his left or right, he might have got in.
Saw another rose head from Seri. Has he got a long shot on target this season?
Has he got a long shot on target? Has he got one on target this season? Do you mean has he ever got a long shot on target?
The goal is the first goal he scored, but that one even on target, that was going wide.
That shot might have been on target,
but it took an almighty deflection, didn't it?
Yeah. I was just thinking the script is set for Seri to score a screamer, but it wants to be.
Sat in the stands, I was thinking exactly the same. As soon as the
ball... When he got the ball,
Seri's been on his sort of philosophy this week, hasn't he?
He had his welcome, didn't he, as well, when he got before pre-match for AFCON. And it was nice to see the whole stadium clapping him out.
It was superb, and like he's been saying all week that talking about his experiences at AFCON and all this kind of thing. He's brilliant to listen to, is Mika. Any interview that's come out with him this week, I would encourage absolutely anyone.
Did you see one with Matt Dean where he said that it would be the best year of his life if Hull City get promoted?
That's the thing. Seri believes that it can happen. And
Ian, there was a shot on target.
There was. Chips it.
Mika's just
my favorite quote from Mika came out after my favorite quote from Mika came out after the match. It was when he was doing the he was in the lounge after the game.
This group has love.
We will go up because we have love, and love always wins, which is just I love that line.
Jaden Philogene got asked about a quote by an Instagram account earlier, and it was something like, it's something along the lines of, you are you, no one is like you, and that is your strength, or something like that.
His response was just, I'm assuming, yeah.
Yeah.
He loves a quote, doesn't he? He loves a quote on Instagram with this Philogene.
His own favourite quote is, no one is you, and that is your power. He was asked it by FC Quote, based in New York.
Did they have a slur or something?
Back onto Seri. Like we've said, his welcome was great. We thought, me and Tom thought, it'd be written in the stars for him to score a worldie. He'd get the hero's welcome, go and hug Liam Rossini, all that good stuff. We're going up. He's just class, though, isn't he? Back to bring it back down to earth. He is just class, isn't he?
It's understated how much he offers to that midfield. I think. Well, he's you only realise what you're missing when it's gone. And that, when he was having, I mean, we had a couple of decent results. Obviously, we've had some good results about him playing. But when he actually does play, it's just he's just calmness on the ball.
Do you know what's like mad? Like when he gets the ball on the pitch, he feels like he's got all the time in the world when he picks up that ball, like in midfield. Like it just you don't feel hurried in possession or anything. Like he can play quick, but I feel like in terms of building up from the back, well, building up from defence, like he's just so crucial because there's no one in that squad that can do the role he can, and that's why I missed him a lot. But when, like I felt like West Brom set off him a bit too much, to be fair. But I think obviously that was their plan to sit in. But you know, Sebi's got that passing range, short, long, just such a like great player. Like it'll be interesting to see, obviously, once he does retire or leave the club, where he ranks among all City midfielders ever. But I think he's close to the top right now, and that's before, you know, he's only been here like a season and a half. So that's just testament to how good he is.
I mean, in terms of purely ability, in terms of pure ability, he will be near the top of greatest City midfielders. I mean, obviously, it's more than that comes into it, but in terms of pure technique, he's up there.
Him and Huddleston are up there, and then there's the sort of game management of Ashby and knowing when to put a hard tackle in and just being a leader. There's just the pure brilliance of Bambi. We've had JJ Okocha play for us.
The greatest really is probably JJ in terms of pure technique. But obviously he was a bit well, I mean, as we suggested in the press box the other day, maybe we should offer a short-term deal to Ronaldinho.
I hadn't put that in my notes to discuss, actually, but we'll chuck it in there now. Do you think Ronaldinho's coming to the Leicester game?
If he's got any sense, he'll stay on Copacabana Beach and he won't come anywhere near Hull.
But I love him real.
So do I want to go to Copacabana or Wivensee?
Hezul Forshaw or Sao Paulo? Good question. Sao Paulo's inland, isn't it? But so it doesn't work, but whatever. Yeah, it's just ridiculous, isn't it, that we're in this position where our chairman, our owner, is going on Sky Sports News and saying, yeah, I've just played foot volleyball on a beach with Ronaldinho and he's going to come and watch us play Birmingham in a few weeks.
Yeah, just knocking him out with Kaká as well, players like that.
Yeah, obviously, Ronaldinho has way too much free time to be coming and watching Hull City. Because he must be bored to death if he's actually resorting to that.
What he wants to see for living, doesn't he, lad?
That's perfect. Yeah, Getting him in on a short-term contract, particularly if we get to the last like three or four games of the season and we know where we're going to finish. Screw it, bring him into the team. Just bring him on for a couple of games just to say he's played for us. They don't even touch the ball.
He wouldn't even need to touch the ball from obviously him to be our best player of all time. That's the thing. Just like.
He'd
overtake JJ. How old is Ronaldinho?
He'll be like 47. I reckon he's like 47 or something. 47.
Oh, he's definitely older than most footballers. He'll be in his early 40s, I think. 43. He
like 46.
Yeah.
43. Not as old as I thought.
21st of March 1980. So by the time we get him on that short term deal, he'll be 44.
Possibly, yeah. He hasn't played for 8 years either, or 9 years, which could be an issue.
And has since been to prison.
Depart in prison FC to join Hull City. Come on.
Actually, speaking, I know I don't want to keep it morbid, but how is Elias Chair still playing for QPR?
Wasn't he awarded a 1 year sentence with an extra year suspended in a Belgian court the other day?
Yes, for doing something rather horrendous to a
smashing a truck driver's head with a rock.
You didn't have to say it, like, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know enough about that to go into detail, but it does seem a bit weird.
It does seem rather odd.
QPR, which is very desperate at the bottom.
You say that. QPR have had good form recently. They're probably going to stay up now.
Stoke have slipped into the bottom three this week, haven't they?
Yes, they're looking trouble. Them and Millwall's form have just dropped up. They've suddenly appeared at the edge of the relegation zone. You're wondering what's going to happen.
I bet Stephen Schumacher feels a bit stupid now, doesn't he, leaving Plymouth?
He probably isn't feeling great, but he's probably getting paid more as well. And that's that's the thing at the end of the day. A lot of people involved in football, it's about the money. Well, whatever it is for him, I don't know, but probably
bringing it back round to Seri then. 2 points I was going to make. The first Enshep has put in chat. I think Seri, in the two games we've seen anyway, is unlocking more out of Carvalho because...
Sarawri as well gets a lot more from him.
One, Seri is just that good. And two, I think because Carvalho and Seri know each other and Seri was a big part of... You know, he took Carvalho under his wing when he broke through at Fulham and all that kind of thing. So they're obviously very, very close. And I think his presence back in the dressing room will have helped Carvalho behind the scenes. And he's just brilliant. The second point I was going to make, I saw Bentos on Twitter, I believe still blocked by Nathaniel, made a good point. About Seri's ability and his age. By the time his contract expires at the end of next season, I believe he's got an option, but I will just quickly double check. No, he does not. So Seri's contract expires at the end of next season, no option. He'll be 34 by the time that contract expires. Bentos said, Jean-Michel Seri will be 34 by the time his contract expires next summer. I genuinely don't think his increasing age will diminish his quality, effort or mobility like it has others. Keep him in the heart of our midfield until he's 40, I reckon.
I mean, I'd love that. I would love
can't that. Argue with that.
I don't see it, but I can see his wife finally convincing him to go back to Italy at some point. Like he was originally.
That's nearly happened again. Nearly happened before. So.
Like he was meant to do, but
and
we love him. He's here and we love him. And as well, I'd love us to keep Mika just forever.
He loves it here though, doesn't he? Like you can just tell he loves it here. But that's obviously if he takes us to the Prem, it's just like it'd be brilliant, but just for him.
So, like Huddleston he oozed similar class in the midfield, didn't he? And his return and the manner in which he left, the first time we'd been relegated and it was just a sort of mass exodus of anyone decent who wasn't Kamil Grzycki, Michael Dawson, Alan McGregor or Abel Hernandez that summer and David Myler. But then when Huddleston came back, it was sort of, he'd come back on trial. We named a trialist for the first time in forever. And it was this sort of homecoming, and you could tell in his first interview he was excited to be here, and it just was never quite the same.
It was never going to be the same, though, was it? He'd been a few years older. He was at the end of his career. It always felt like a signing that would be better for the other players than for him in terms of playing time. Better for other players to be around him than him. Getting regular game time.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Then the circumstances in which he left as well were really, really frustrating. How Shotter said that he wouldn't be getting a new contract. And the best he knew of it was seeing a tweet from Hull City Stats or Hull Transfers or whoever it was on Twitter. And that was the way he found out. That was a really, really cruel way for it to end.
So not good, that.
After the game, like waiting about afterwards and whatever, I'd gone, but a couple of minutes after I'd gone, Huddleston came out and people were asking him, Tom, the manager said that you're not going to be here next year. Is that true? And if it is, thank you for your last year or whatever. And he says, that's the first I've heard of it. So I think I don't want that sort of thing to happen with Seri. Where
that was an issue that came up under the Shotter regime that I'm assuming, I would hope that the club has learned from.
Yeah, I want us to know that it's going to be his last, so we can give him the send-off that a player of his quality befits, if you get what I'm trying to say.
Look, he's 32 now, isn't he? He's 32 now.
I think so.
He's 32 on. Yeah, so like, hope he got a good, at least another 3 years. If he decides to stay on when his contract runs out, but hopefully at least three more years of it.
I just hope he doesn't have a serious injury, because that could finish him, which would be horrendous.
Well, throughout his career, I think he's been lucky with injuries anyway. So
don't say that.
This is getting clipped, isn't it?
Oh god. Another individual performance I want to talk about is Jacob Greaves. He's so good, isn't he? He's another one who I just don't want to lose.
Yeah, he's just everything. He's complete, isn't he? He's complete. He's just a complete centre back. Can do everything.
He'll play for England one day.
His positional awareness is just brilliant. He's great with the ball at his feet. Great in the air. Just like what more do you want from a centre back? Like, and obviously alongside Jones as well. You know.
Yeah. He'll have to leave City, you know, to play for England, because as we know, if you play for Old City, that's never happening.
Unfortunately.
Under 21s, yeah, but not the main team, not a chance.
Yeah, no, to be fair, usually when it's under 21s, they have to go and learn from a different club. I think, obviously, Keane Lewis Potter played for under 21s when he was with us, but
Greaves was on the standby list, but he never got in.
Yeah. But with Greaves, it's like, obviously, there'll be a lot of talk in the summer about him leaving, and where would you value him at? Like 20 mil?
Maybe a bit more. Mil?
No, I'm not letting him go for that little. What happened with Maguire? Not a chance in hell.
Yeah, literally 2 years later, he's going for 80 mil.
I think 25.
He did get a bit of that, to be fair, but even so, can't have that happen again.
Well, did we get a bit of that, or did Ehab get a bit of that?
Yeah, that's the thing as well. It wasn't. We technically got a bit of it, but it probably went straight into Ehab's back pocket.
But that's an era gone by, and
that's the thing. But when you look at how much players go into the from the Championship to the Premier League, like Adam Wharton, how much did he just go for from Blackburn to Palace?
20 mil. 20 mil.
Yeah.
19 years old.
I would be going for way more than that at the moment.
What raises value is like the fact he's English and a left foot centre back.
Centre back.
23 years old as well, so he's like not even close to be the prime.
We can put on that lad is gonna be insane. And the point about players who we could sell for more, I had a problem when we let Bowen leave, because he had, I think, as many or more goal contributions as side Benrahma. Yeah. Bowen went for no more than 18. Benrahma went for 33.
The January Bowen went, he was like the third highest scorer in the division, I think, at the time he actually left. And I think he finished in the third highest goal scorer in the division or something like that. And
he's got like 15 goals, hasn't he? Yeah. Got 15 goals in the first half.
I think we should have got more money for Bowen, shouldn't we? Just
20, what, I thought it was like 20, what, like 24 mil of add-ons or something. Like 24 mil or 22.
Under the Allen regime, there was way too many players who went for way too little. The worst one is still going to always be Andy Robertson. But there's plenty of examples other than him.
10 mil. Well, technically, Kevin Stewart and 2 million.
Yes. Yeah.
The thing is, like, you look at Southampton as well, like it's a team that came down from the Prem. They've like got 150 million for like five players or something, six players, well, you know, in this summer. Yeah. And then there was like I'm trying to think of some of the ones as well. Teller as well, and so obviously that shows as a championship club you can get big fees for players. But it's like obviously really? when we had the albums, it's like, you know.
Really, Liverpool still owe us. They should just give us Carvalho and Morton, really. To give us
the feather in debt, are they?
With Kevin Stewart, didn't they? Yeah, I agree with. I totally agree.
Kevin Stewart. Speaking of Kevin Stewart, have you seen his Instagram?
No, I haven't.
No, I ignore. I ignore players who have fallen.
It's so bad. But
what's he doing now?
I won't get into that. He's just in Dubai, like training, not playing football, but he's like preaching like loads of stuff about how to look after yourself, and he's like going at people saying you shouldn't go to bed at. You should wake up at 4 a.m. every day and stuff like that. If you wake up at 7, that's too late. That's almost midday. He's like being like real patronizing all the time to people. So, yeah, it's just.
There's an aneurysm there. 7 a.m. is nearly midday.
He says that he goes to bed at 11 and wakes up at 4. It's like, five you don't need 8 hours sleep every day. It's a myth from the doctors.
I mean, yeah. I don't get 8 hours sleep, but I'll do my best to get more than 5.
Yeah, but he's just about like a good health, but then he preaches having 5 hours of sleep every day. But yeah.
Well,
anyway, back to
from the past. Isn't it?
I just thought I'd bring him up because Stewart, sick of his Instagram.
Kevin Stewart, didn't see him after COVID, did we?
Didn't see a lot of players after COVID.
Moving on then. We've covered just about everything, haven't we? We've talked about our goal a bit. Only thing I've got down that I think it could be worth talking about is Philogene and Zaruri. Swap the wings.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up actually earlier. I think Zaruri's looked okay, but while Philogene has played out on the right, he's not had the impact he had before. And I think it is a concern.
I think Philogene, we know what he's good at. We know he loves cutting in. And Zaruri, I'd say, like, in terms of cutting in and producing the end products, probably not as been as good as we'd hoped so far. But he has looked promising. But obviously, you know, Philogene dynamite on that left. So I'd like to see him back there and put Zaruri on the right, or at least
give it a go.
Even put Ermer on the right. I won't mind seeing him out there. Just like
Abdush has played more games as a right winger than he has a number 10 over the course of his career. So.
I did find actually about him. He actually had a 100% passing, I think, on Saturday as well. And he made about 40, he made about 35 passes and put a single one wrong.
Yeah.
He attacked quite good.
Just don't lose the ball, does he?
No.
I think we've got a real gem there, and it's if we
2 million, wasn't it? 2 million.
2 million, but a hefty sell on.
I was going to say, look at it this way. In a way, we swapped Cynic for Ömer. Because Cynic went, we essentially got 2 million for Cynic, I believe.
Do you mean Alia?
Alia, I got 2 million for. But look at it as we've essentially swapped Cynic for a mare just because it's the Turkish thing. Quickly, something about Turkey, get another Turkish player in.
Mm. I think we'll see Cynic go in the summer, definitely. Because I don't think we can be in this cycle of homesick, loan him out, injured, loan him out. I just don't think we can get stuck in that cycle again. I think.
Well, then obviously Ayman, obviously Tufan have shown that because obviously there's been a lot of sort of criticism around the Turkish buys. I think like all the players who bought from Turkey, they've not lived up to expectation and they've probably not performed to the level expected. But obviously Tufan would say it's been a success coming from a Turkish background, and I'd say obviously Ayman so far looks like
Tufan. I suppose he had played in England, which I think.
Yeah.
Not well, but he had played in England.
Yeah, so there was that, but in terms of like other exports we've got from there, it's like probably been criticised a lot, but showing that there is talent to be on air from there, I guess.
It's a market that Adjun's got he's a big player in that market, isn't he? He can, well, one, he's a popular man in Turkey, and two, he's got the pull of, come on, it's English football kind of thing. So it's a market that we have used and we can continue to use. I still think Ajun might want one from there every so often. But if they're of a level of a two fan of what Emer's shown so far and not a Tete or a cynic, then we can't complain.
Yeah, you know, what you do question about it is, like, I'm not, you do question whether if we did have this owner, would we be going for players like that? Probably not. But obviously, Emer's, like, so far been brilliant. So I don't mind it, to be honest.
I think had Rossini been our manager straight away, or had we kept McCann, we might have gone for Oscar, but I think the likelihood of us going for Tete and players having that Georgian winger from Hatayspor, whatever his name was, having him as on our list of targets, I don't think that would ever have happened.
Was it Georgios Mikatadze or something?
No, that was a striker, wasn't it? There was another one. He was a winger. What was his name? I'm gonna have to Google it. It began with an S. That's it. Saba Lobhanidze from Hatayspor, we were linked with. He currently plays for Atlanta United at the age of 29.
I mean, there's only one Georgian winger, I'll be honest, I want, and it's Kvaratskhelia at Napoli.
Yeah, he'd be all right, wouldn't he? And Shota had that link, but that's, again, that's an it. We've been quite reminiscent on this episode, haven't we?
Yeah, we've gone into Huddleston.
Yeah, well, I don't want to think about the Shota era, though, to be quite honest.
In some cases, it's nice nostalgia. In other cases, it's PTSD. Moving on, short answer to that, Ian. Do I think we'll ever see Uriel Thelli? No.
Someone made a good question. I can't remember it was. But I said, I'm starting to get the feeling that Shelley is just an AI-generated human.
His contract's up.
A thing about him.
His contract's up at the end of next season.
We'll never see
him. He hasn't got an option. We could bring him in as like a player who wouldn't qualify for a work permit kind of thing if we really wanted to.
He's not a Liam thing. He's not a Liam guy. Is he? He's someone who was...
He's one of a senior player.
Liam said when he was asked about us signing and stuff like that, he says, we're not... Well, I don't know anything about him. It's the club.
Which doesn't, because he had nothing to do with it.
What's the point in having a club project if you're going to give him a 2.5-year deal? He's never going to come to the training ground, and he's just probably going to leave on a free. What's the point?
I initially assume if it had been under Shota, he probably would have come in this season if they could have got it.
Anyway, to sum up West Brom, to round it off, good point. 1 point gained, 2 points dropped. For me, it's one gained.
Yeah, good performance, two good teams. Yeah. Can't really complain about it, really, overall.
I think it goes off like, obviously won the three games prior. Had the form been two losses and a draw, or just like maybe a win and two losses, then we probably would have been like, oh, we really need 3 points here. But the fact we're in a position where we can afford to get a point and be still in the top six, it's a good point for me. And considering West Brom are obviously one of the best teams in the division for me, so yeah, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, certainly. I think you summed it up perfectly in our group chat, Will. It was a case of two very, very good championship teams cancelling each other out. And
yes, pretty much.
That's the perfect note to leave it on. Looking ahead to Preston then, one change was made from the winning lineup at Southampton to the West Brom game. That was Slater out, Morton in. What changes, if any, would you make? Tom, we'll start with you. Put you on the spot.
So in terms of defence and goalkeeper, stay the same for me, obviously. Midfield, obviously, Seri and Morton. that stays the same. But obviously, with the attack, it's like, I'd love to see Ohio. I'm not going to lie. I would love to see him come in, but he's not going to. He's not going to be making the squad. So I'd probably keep it the same, to be honest. But if I could, then I'd love to see Ohio getting a start. But yeah.
I think it was interesting in that the one change that was made for the game was Slater out for Morton, because Slater was superb, I thought, against Southampton. Very surprising to see him dropped in that game. And yeah, I felt the way Morton was playing against West Brom, he was very far forward quite a lot. I was surprised how far forward he would go, which always felt like something that Slater was always really good at doing. And Morton was never that sort of player a lot of the time this season. So I'd maybe be tempted to just make that one change again and bring Slater back in for Morton. Though when Slater did come on later on, he didn't have the greatest time. He looked quite cold on the pitch, and he obviously gave away the ball quite badly when Reid should have scored and hit the post, and then Wyman had his shot saved. But that'd be the only change, because I don't see why I would change any of that attack, especially going away from home. Preston will be the side that will be forced to be the impetus, and will want to. I imagine City will try and play like they did against Southampton with the pressing game. And I think with the front four as it was, that was perfect. I think, though, I'd maybe bring Ohio to the bench. I'm not sure. I think I'd bring him in just to add that different element up front.
I'd bring Ohio onto the bench in place of, crucify me, Billy Sharp.
A lot of people probably won't crucify you for that, to be fair. There's a lot of people who don't like him, and there's a lot of people who do.
One of my mates, not that he's listening to this, he'll definitely crucify me if he is. Also, on the off chance, Josh, that you are, unlucky, mate. If a striker's going to come in, out of the lot of them, I'd drop Zaruri and move Abdushamir wide.
Which, and a possibility in left here. Cavalier and behind.
Yeah, that's the only one I'd maybe make attacking-wise.
I think it's... I said it when in my video when Toufan and Slater came on. It's incredibly harsh on both of them that they're not starting the games, because Ozan has been he's come on leaps and bounds this season, and Slater against Southampton was phenomenal. So it's
really such a big obviously saw against Robham how much of an impact he made. He was obviously pressing for the goal. Philogene's obviously Roberto, like that was off of him really pressing and forcing the opposition to mistake. He's like got so much fitter under Rossini. Like Tevez is pressing, like he doesn't look tired. He's probably lost a bit of weight as well. Like he just looks so much better. Probably the best he's been.
Liam said Ozan initially when Rossini came in was really quite miffed at having to do the extra running and put the graft in, but he sees why now, and he feels great for it. And like I say, it's incredibly harsh on him that he's not starting games. Looking at Preston then, 4 wins in 5, 3 points behind us in 8th place, but like Will said, their goal difference is appalling. -5 is the lowest in the top half of the table.
Quite a bit as well.
The next worst in the top half is Watford's it's Bristol City 0, then Watford +3.
They're way away at the moment.
It's almost an extra sort of tap.
It's almost like a point, yeah.
And that's going to hinder them as we come towards season's end, even if they do go on a really, really good run of form. Should we just get straight into it then with predictions?
Yeah, go on.
Will, I'm going to give you time to think about yours, because you always give it a good amount of thought.
Time, because it's a shame we don't have Nathaniel's joint 11. I imagine it would have been some horrendous eldritch horror of an 11. it is an interesting game, because it's a good marker as well should we win it, because it essentially will create such a gap between us and Preston as well that you'd think well, that probably rules Preston out from overtaking us if we win it. So that probably rules out maybe one team there straight away, in theory.
We have had a decent record against Preston as well.
Yeah.
No one, nostalgia again, no one will ever forget Bowen squeezing it in that inside post at home when we beat them 4-0.
Whoa. Never forget Andy Cannon.
Andy Cannon, Tom Eaves' back heel assist.
Oh. Yes. What a moment. What a moment that seemed like an incredible start to a season and it ended up being nothing.
We thought, oh yes, well, come on, promotion this season with Tommy Cannon in the field. Come on.
At the start of that season, the Irish guy on YouTube, he predicted us to finish second.
Oh my
Jesus Christ. Was he all right?
No, he's not, is the answer. His predictions are always...
I don't think I've ever predicted us to finish in the top two since 2017-18.
I've never trusted the Irish guy because of his complete distaste for Paul McShane. So,
yeah, I love Paul McShane. He put something out today, a roast of every professional, of like every football club in the top four divisions. And something about us was like a welcome to Hull side. It should say welcome to hell. So
that is such an appallingly crap joke. Because no one has ever thought of that one before.
Don't worry, every team had a joke that bad.
But anyway, the lineup,
I think we'll go for Di Cornell in goal. We'll stick Emil Rees at right back. They've got former Tigers Robbie Brady and Will Keane.
Scored his first goal in 3 years, was it, the other day? Robbie Brady, a lovely effort.
Yeah, it was a really good strike, wasn't it? Former Hull City target as well under Grant McCann, Ali McCann in their midfield.
I mean, Will Keane will probably have a field day because he was never any good for us, so he'll definitely score for them.
You'd have to put him up front, I think, in the old combined 11, Will Keane.
Oh, yeah, definitely above Philogene. Put him in above Philogene. My prediction, I've thought about it long and hard, really weighed down the positives and negatives, and I still think it will be 3-0 the Hull City.
Marvellous, Will. Thank you for that. Goal scorers or not?
Zerari, he'll finally smash one of those long range efforts in. Amer, I'm going to predict Amer now, I think, every game until he does it, because I want to see him do it. And Giles, just making a run forward, doing a little 1-2 with someone and just...
Like Andy Robertson goal in the playoffs against Derby, which breaks away sort of at the end.
That went down as an own goal, didn't it?
No.
You're thinking
of Onabagio's.
Yes, I am thinking of Onabagio's. Tom, what are you thinking?
I'm going to go... Preston 1, Hull City 3.
Okay, I'm a fan of that. Our 3. Are you going to go Zeruri, Amur and Giles or something a bit different?
I'm going to go with... I'll go Philogene. I'll go Amur as well. Let's go Louis Coyle. Get him on the score sheet. Come on.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Louis Coyle. You got to say a fullback.
Alberto, we sort of had a discussion about this earlier on, didn't we? But we all sort of said if we play the way we did against Southampton, if that's how we intend to play, keep it relatively as it is. But I do think the Ian, we'll come to that. I just got really excited at Will showing me a comment from Ian on Facebook. Back to Alberto's comment. Some game, like the West Brom game, we all were in agreement that it was crying out for Ohio, but he was sat behind the dugout with his tracksuit on. So different games need different things. Let's just say that. The Southampton game was executed to perfection. West Brom game could have turned out differently for me if we had Ohio to bring on rather than Sharp or Connolly. Evesy would have made a difference.
But Tom Ings? Oh, of course Tom Ings would have made a difference. The man, the myth, the legend. finally scored again. I've been waiting ages to use that pitch. It's been a long time since that pitch has appeared on here.
For audio listeners, Will has just...
Christ has risen.
Has just put on the screen a picture of Tom Eves photoshopped onto Jesus, which
what
is...
Photoshop? That's a real painting.
Which is...
I don't think I've used that. I don't think I've used that since the game where Adjun took over.
That's...
Blackburn.
He did score in that 2-0 win over Blackburn.
George and him one as well.
There's another one which I've got saved in my camera roll,
I don't think other clubs. I don't think other clubs realise like he was a, like how much of a cult hero he was at Hull City, because when you speak to Wobbram fans, or they think he's crap and they don't like him at all. Whereas with us,
I will say, I remember the Rotherham, when we played Rotherham at our place earlier in the season. I remember we were 3-0 up, we were already well ahead. And a part of me almost wanted Eves to come, because Eves came on. Part of me was like, I really hope he scores. Because I think if he scores, he might be the only player who has all four stands cheering.
I know. Yeah. I adored Tom Eves. He's such a legend. Like, as a bloke,
himself.
He's so nice. And he was, like you say, Tom, just a cult hero. And I would have celebrated if he scored. And he said after the game, he did me a little video message, which I was buzzing with at the time and still am. He said to one of my mates waiting for him after the game, he said, because we were chanting, Evesy, give us a wave. Well, I say we collectively, the North Stand was. And he said, had we not been 4-1 down, I'd have done it.
Yeah, that was it.
But anyway, back to Preston. Although I could talk about Tom Eves all day, I think we'll win 2-1 again. It'll be a late Preston consolation, I think, to make it a little bit nervous like the Southampton one was. Goals from Alfie Jones and, you know what, I'll join in the fun, Abdou Shamir as well. Anything else? Anything else wanted to discuss on this one?
Well, might as well briefly mention this comment. Rumours. I have heard these rumours elsewhere, but the idea is apparently no Ohio's had a fallout with Rossini. I mean, we don't know. So it's impossible to
I do find
it interesting that he's always saying it's just a selection reason for not picking him, which I mean, it might be true, but it feels very sudden from
He's not going to come out and say like the actual truth, is he? He's got to say like.
We won't find out until.
Yeah.
Well, in the future.
I think obviously Ohio's probably frustrated knowing that he's coming on loan and he's like a youngster and he probably expects to be playing and maybe he's not putting the work in, but who knows?
I don't want to assume that something bad's happening at the club at every possible opportunity. When it's just when there's a good thing going as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is a weird one with Ohio, isn't it? Coming on loan. But if he's out of the picture now, imagine what he's going to be when Liam Delap's back fit. He's going to be firmly out in the cold. And I say that out of hope that Liam Delap is back fit. It was brilliant to see him.
Nice team. I'd love to see him again. Whether we do or not, it's another question.
I asked him, Liam, do you think you'll play for us again? He just says, oh, we'll see. Interesting.
Yeah, he's not going to say yes or no, is he, to be fair?
Interesting one about Liam Delap. He seems to have about 7 different autographs depending on what he can be asked to do. So they're all in the drawback down there, but he signed
me. Pretty soon my autograph changes every time I sign something.
He signed 2 for me yesterday, which were real scruffy. And just like quite simple, but he signed one for me at the start of this year that was absolutely beautiful. So that's autograph psychology. We've done everything today, haven't we? We've done nostalgia, PTSD, Tommy's legendary, Uriel Thelly, and just the outright weird. i.e. Kevin Stewart's Instagram. So,
yeah.
On that note, I think that's as good a place as any to end. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Will, Tom, thank you for being superb as always.
Cheers, pal.
Do my best every now and then.
I know Nathaniel. I understand that, but I hope my hosting.
No, you're infinitely better. Nah, happy birthday to the wee lad. I assume he's still up.
He's 37 minutes till his bedtime.
Happy birthday, Nathaniel, for as long as it's his birthday. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, whether it's live or whether it's. Since we have switched StreamYard off and got on with our lives, thank you for watching.
Is that what you do when we turn this off? Jesus.
Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, everyone. And we will see you all after the Preston game. And that, for video watchers, is Tommy's Jesus for one last time to sign off. Thank you and goodbye.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Open them up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.